Father, I'm so thankful for your presence here this morning. And Lord Jesus, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would minister to each and every one of us today. Lord, that I would just be the vessel that you use this morning to speak your word. That you would reveal to each and every one of us what we need and what we need to be doing. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Acts chapter 4. Tim, I'm probably going to have Kyle come up, so don't worry about the CD or anything. We'll be okay. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy person among them, for from time to time those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. What I want to talk to y'all about, okay, so it says that they were one in heart and mind to the point that nobody even claimed that they had possessions of their own, that they were so much in one accord that they freely gave to each other, they freely helped each other. And when I read this and I think about this and I think of all the times that even in modern, you know, times that this has tried to been duplicated and how it usually becomes corrupt, right? Because a leader gets the authority and begins to manipulate people and use people and becomes greedy and it's a hard system to do unless the Holy Spirit's in charge of it, right? Unless God's in charge of it. But like I said, last week I had every intentions of being here in time to read the announcements and everything, but y'all got started right at 11 o'clock last week because I come in at 11 and Mitzi was already doing the announcements and I usually sit up front, but I didn't want to be disruptive or anything, so I sat in the back and it just gave me a different view of everything. It let me see a different side that I don't get to see every week. Last week's message, I'm just going to do a real quick recap. Mark 12, 30 and 31, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. I guess the week before, Jacob had talked about loving the Lord God. Last week, he talked about loving your neighbor as yourself. And so, as I'm sitting here thinking about this and thinking about the message today, I'm sure that all of you are probably going, well, who is my neighbor? And you, most of y'all probably know who your neighbor is, but maybe not all of you. And let's go to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to try and go fast and get back to the point, but I'm just trying to trust that the Holy Spirit's really speaking to each and every one of us. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, of who our neighbor is, and it's the Good Samaritan. We've all heard this story, but let's hear it again. Luke 10:25, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, the teacher. He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question all of us should have today. What must I do to inherit eternal life? We all want to go to heaven. Verse 26, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Yay, A plus. He knew. He knew what to do, right? And most of us know these scriptures. We know what to do. But verse 29, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, isn't that just like us? Okay, we know what to do, but let's really get technical, because I kind of want to manipulate things to fit what I like to do or what I really want to do, but I really don't want to get out of my comfort zone and have to do something that I don't want to do. I was driving home from work Friday and had dinner plans at my dad's house, and I wanted to get home in time to take a shower, and I'm speeding on down through the highway, and I see a man and a woman broke down on the side of the road, and my first thought is, everybody has a cell phone now. They don't need me. And I drove about 10 foot past them, and the Lord said, turn around. And I went, but I've got dinner. I'm not a mechanic. I'm an idiot when it comes to cars. If I pulled up, they'd probably tell me what was wrong and with my car that I'm driving. I mean, that's how bad I am, you know? I whip around, drive back up, and pull up, and I said, y'all need any help? No, we're good, but thank you. They had a flat, and I said, well, you know, if you need me to run you to, you know, because sometimes if you guys are like me, you don't check your spare tire. And if any of y'all ever went to put a spare tire on, and it's flat too, so I'm thinking, you know, I could at least go get them air or whatever else. They said, we've already got a hold of Cherokee Tire right before they close. They're fixing their tire and bringing it back, but we really appreciate you stopping. Said, okay, took off. And I took off, and I said, Lord, why did I stop? They didn't need me. I don't get it. Why did I have to stop? And the Lord said, to see if you would. Because, see, the thing is if we learn to trust God even when things don't make sense, like, why did I stop? They really didn't need me. Then when bigger things don't make sense, we can still trust God, right? Because we're listening to His voice. God, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. That person's not my neighbor. I've never seen him before. It wasn't one of y'all broke down. And one of y'all, I'd at least give a honk and a wave as I drove by, you know. So who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Y'all have ever done that, going to church? I've got to get to church. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I don't got time. That's very improper English, isn't it? Don't got time. I do not have the time to mess with him. You know, we're going. I'm going to do a good thing. I'm going to church. I'm going to teach my Sunday school class. I'm going to learn, whatever. This priest passed by. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now, I'm not for sure, because I don't keep a real good record in my mind, and I used to go back and look, when was the last time you preached that, so I wouldn't preach stuff again, but I don't do that anymore either, because I just trust the Lord's given it to me. But I do think we talked about that sometime this year, and so I don't want to focus on this too much, but the man took pity on him. And Jesus said, who is it that was a neighbor to him? And he says, the one that had mercy on him. And church, as I seen last week, how easy it would be for someone to come and slip in. I was sitting about where Ryan is. Slip in and sit down and get up and leave and never even have to talk to anybody. It'd be easy. A couple minutes late, as soon as the service is over, you hit the back door and nobody would even know. Now, I almost, but I did, but I was debating on having a list of everybody that comes to church here and just to see if everybody knows everybody. But I didn't do it. But how many of y'all, by raising of hands, knows Brock? Okay. How many of y'all realize that Brock's not going here anymore? Yeah, some of y'all. He had went to church for years. They had to close the doors because they didn't have the money to keep it open. And so he started coming here. And then a few weeks ago, they got the money. And so he felt like he was need to go back and support this church. So he went back to his other church. Wasn't that he was mad or upset or anything else. So how many of y'all know Candy? Even less hands. How many of y'all know Tish? Just a few hands. How many of y'all know Adam? How many of y'all know Sloan? How quick? Yo, we're small. We're small. We don't have a lot of people. And I'm sitting back there. How many of y'all know Terry? Terry's came twice in the last month. And he'd been prayed for years. Hasn't been to church in years and years and years, if ever. And he's came twice in the last month here. We don't know who he is, right? I'm not trying to cast stones at y'all. I'm just trying to get us to open up our eyes of how easily someone can slip in and slip out. And that person might be hurting. Maybe they're not beat like the man. You know, maybe it's not visible wounds, blood coming from them or something else. But they may be broken on the inside that they need something. And they've always heard, well, go to church. Go to church. And maybe they've slipped in because they're kind of shy, because they don't really like to talk to people. And then they slip right out and they say, well, what was that all about? Well, I'll try it a second time. You know, someone that's coming here right now had told me that they started coming to this church. They'd went to a really big church, and they'd visited some other big churches, and they'd said that they'd went two or three Sundays without anybody even saying hello to them. And they weren't rushing in and rushing out. And they said, that's not where we want to be. But y'all, as small as the church as we are, and people can still slip in and slip out, and nobody even know. Nobody even know that they were here. That's what I figured out sitting back there last Sunday. And Jacob talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. And I'm sitting here thinking, do we really love each other? Do we really want to engage and share with each other? Do we really want to be a neighbor to the people around us? You know, I also see that some of us may not even realize we need each other. You know, you got a good life, you got a good family, you just come to hear the awesome preaching and the awesome singing, and then you hit the door and leave. You know, you don't really need anybody. You guys can smile. I hope it's good, but some of y'all might say, I don't really need a church family. I have a great family at home. Praise God if you do. Praise God if you do. Maybe you have everything you need. So you think. But you know, something happened to me while we were on vacation. Something else is I've got a lot of flower beds, and I hate flower beds, but I have a lot of them. And I've gotten to where I'm not planting any more flowers in the beds. I have crystal by pots, and we plant flowers in the pots, so I don't have to weed them all. And I take and I spray in our rocks and stuff to kill the weeds, because I don't like weeding stuff. Okay, but last week we were gone 1 week. Okay, 1 week, and around our pool there was so many weeds in 1 week. How does that happen? And then something else terrible has happened. Something that I wanted to stay alive died. My fig tree Charlie gave me, from 1 week of not being watered, I have to talk to Charlie about it, but all the leaves fell off, and we started watering it again, and I'm praying that it's not dead. But I wanted that fig tree to live. So 1 week, I get weeds where I don't want them, and what I want to stay alive has died, okay? Because I wasn't there to tend to it. Y'all, you may not think you need each other here, but we do. We need to be there to tend to one another, to see the weeds, to see the things growing in our lives that don't need to be there, and to water and to fertilize what we do see is good, and make sure that it's staying alive, and make sure that it's growing. And Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, you may think that your family is great, and maybe they are. But you know what? Your church family can be pretty great too, if we open up our eyes and see who our neighbors are, and that we need to tend to one another, and we need to build relationships with one another. Now, is everybody going to be the very best friends here? No. But can we all have a relationship with one another? Yes. Should we all have a relationship with one another? Yes. If I call you or I text you and say, be praying for Rayson, is anybody going to know who Rayson is? Well, about half of you. Maybe, you know. But shouldn't we know who Rayson is? That's Colton and Casey's little boy. You know, shouldn't we know each other's names? Shouldn't we know our children's names? That's the beauty of being in this little church. Then when someone's missing, someone's in need, we can text and we can visualize that person and go, oh. And when we pray, we can know who we're praying for. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Sunday school, we've got a prayer list, and sometimes we don't know people's names, and sometimes, you know, we don't know people's faces. God knows. But where I'm trying to get is y'all know who CJ and Michelle are? I hadn't been here in about 10 weeks. Anybody called them? Anybody texted them? Last time I remember them being here was Mother's Day, because I kept CJ's Father's Day gift back there, and he still hadn't been, so I gave it to another father. Because that's how long it's been since they've been here. I hate calling names because I forget I'm being recorded, but I don't know if anybody's really listening anyway. So. Y'all, the people slip through the cracks, and before you know it, 2, 3, 4 months gone by, and when we hadn't seen them. You know, I got a friend that I work with, and I'm not going to get through this. I got a friend that I work with, and I've shared this with y'all before, and him and his wife left the Assembly of God in Bonanza, and he said, those people are driving me crazy. They won't quit calling there and bugging me. And I told him, I said, but if nobody called them, what would you say? Well, then nobody cares. Right? You can't win for lose sometimes with people. I'm not telling everybody to go home and call CJ and Michelle, but if you'd like their number, I've got it, okay? But it, okay, we want to belong. Everybody wants to belong to something. And we want to know people care. You know, I told y'all when I was gone that several people died and when I was in Florida, it's my brother's, one of his best friends, dad and his fiance were killed in a car wreck on their way home from her class reunion. And, my brother and dad was in Colorado, Utah. And you know what they did? They turned around and cut their vacation short so that he could be here with that guy. And they don't go to church together. They ride motorcycles together and hang out together. But he was willing to cancel his vacation to come back to be there. Y'all, how many of us, if we're out of town, would cancel to come back and be here? How many of us, if we're in town, drop our plans to just go help someone? Well, but I didn't know. Okay, I've got that excuse. Sometimes stuff happens to y'all and I don't find out for 2-3 months later. And then all at once I hear and I didn't know. But then the reality is, and I'm going to pick on myself, but I'm picking on y'all too. The reality is, even when you know, will you? Will you go to the hospital? Will you take someone food? Will you show someone love? Will you go cut someone's grass? Will you? They had all thing in common. Iron sharpens iron. We need each other to sharpen each other. Because who knows, maybe, okay, golly, I'm doing terrible. Iron sharpening iron. Y'all remember, a lot of you remember, years ago, Tim got stomped by his cow. Okay? And Tim heats his house in the winter with wood. Okay? And was it the fall, Tim, when you got stomped? I can't remember exactly, but Tim needed to cut a bunch of wood for all winter to burn. Okay? Me, duh, I'm not thinking nothing, you know. We went down and prayed for Tim. We were praying for Tim. But Jason says, Pete, let's get a bunch of men from church to go down and cut wood and take care of Tim's need for the whole winter. I didn't think about that. Iron sharpens iron. Great idea, Jason. And a bunch of us went down there and, man, we cut so much wood. Remember that, Tim? We cut a bunch of wood. We got them piled up so he wouldn't have to worry about it, so he could recover. You know what? On my own, I didn't think of that. Jason thought of that. Iron sharpens iron. It's a good idea. Let's get going. Let's get busy. We need each other to sharpen each other, to bring out things, to see things. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. See, two or three. We need each other in our in prayer and life, in living. We need to be neighbors to one another and love one another. Romans 12:4-5 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You hear what that's saying? Each member belongs to each other. We belong to each other. But how many of us are really giving our lives? How many of us are truly living out, having all things in common with our church family, with our neighbors? See, to love each other as ourselves is to belong to one another, to give. But many of us, we're so busy, or we're shy, or we're uncaring, or we don't even like each other half the time. Why would I go help that person? They didn't speak to me. They didn't do this. They didn't help me when I needed help. I didn't get no card from them. They didn't come visit me when I was in the hospital. Why should I do this? Mm-mm. There's a whole nother sermon on forgiving, but if you're holding anything against anybody in this body of believers, You need to stop right now. You need to pray and ask for forgiveness, and you need to let it go. And you might even need to go to that person and tell them that you love them and hug them and let it go, because that's breaking the fellowship. If you're mad, if you're hurt feelings, but the Scripture here says, just as one body has many members, but we're all serving a function and we all belong to one another. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But how can we carry each other's burdens when we don't know what they are? How could you carry someone's burdens when you don't know what they are, when you don't know them? When you don't trust them. See, you don't trust somebody, you're not going to share your burden, are you? You're not going to tell them. I don't know you enough to trust you. You might go tell everybody in town. You might do this. You know, when you don't trust each other, you're not going to share. And sometimes even when we trust, we don't share. But it says to fulfill the law, we are to carry each other's burdens. The only way that we can carry each other's burdens is when we know. And the way that we know is to have fellowship, to have relationship, to get that trust so that we know each other. You know, with people that you love and you're around a lot, do they have to say anything for you to know if they're happy or if they're mad or if they're upset? I had a couple weeks ago, Madeline went to Michigan for my cousin's wedding. We're just going to go over. I'm sorry, Mitzi, if you got to leave, I understand. Mitzi's got something to do. But I love blueberries. And my aunt in Michigan, when I was little growing up, made blueberry pancakes. They were the greatest thing in the world, you know. So Madeline, when she's up in Michigan, went to this place because Michigan grows a lot of blueberries. And she brought me back blueberry syrup. Well, I think it was a Saturday or so before we were leaving for Michigan. I'd been out working, and I come in, and I just walked through the house and walked back outside. And I was busy. I was hot and everything. And Crystal came out, and she said, are you mad at me? I said, no. She said, well, Madeline said I was supposed to make you pancakes to go with that blueberry syrup she got you, and I didn't make the pancakes. Are you upset that I didn't make pancakes? And I started laughing. I said, no, I'm upset because my mower and my, and, you know. And I started laughing, though. But she could tell. I didn't even say anything to her. I didn't say a mean word or nothing. She could tell I was upset and I was mad about something. I didn't have to say anything. And she ended up making me blueberry pancakes, and that helped me get in a better mood, okay? You know, is there people in your life, you just know. You know if they're having a bad day. You know if they're having a good day. But you know what we do at church? How you doing? I'm fine. We put on this happy, cheesy grin. Life's great. Couldn't be better. And inside we're broken. And inside we're hurting. My wife always says, you can't fake it. I know. I know something's wrong. You know? I've been on the phone with my brother when he called to tell me that his friend's dad was killed. I knew as soon as he started talking, something's wrong. And he didn't start off with that. He's like, how's y'all's trip going? And we're here. And I just knew something's wrong. I didn't know what yet. But how many of us, we put on our happy, smiley face here at church and we don't know? Y'all, I don't know. Lord, help me. Acts 4:32 says all the believers were one in heart, one in mind. How can we get to one in heart, one in mind? I've got more scriptures here, but we're going to stop because I know people have things to do. But The reality is I don't want us to be a religious institute here. Okay? And I really want us to start experience the freedom of the Holy Spirit with whatever He says to do. And if it's go long, if it's go short, if it's not preach, if it's not sing, if it is preach, if it is sing, whatever it is, if it's to sit and hang out and talk. Because y'all don't need another sermon from me that most of you will forget by the time you get to the stoplight. And Monday morning you definitely have forgot it. And to just show up for another church service where nobody's acted like they care. No one's put an arm around you. No one's asked you how you're doing. No one said, I'm praying for you, and meant it. We're wasting our time if that's all we're about. Y'all, we need the Holy Spirit here interacting with, whether it's me preaching, Mitzi singing, or us just hanging out and talking. I don't know. The wheels are turning in my head what the Lord wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. But I want y'all to know I care. I want you to know you're loved. And the people that's missing and gone, it's like I pray, God, do I call them? Do I not call them? How do I handle this and not bug them? Not bug them. Not be that pesky, preacher. But the cool thing is, it's just like Dina. She's not here this morning. Amanda keeps in touch with Dina. Lets me know what's going on. She has a best friend here at church that she can connect with. But now that's not an excuse. We all ought to know who Dina is. We all ought to have a relationship with Dina, right? And you're going to have people that you've got more in common with, that you're better friends with than other people, even in this small of a body. But the reality is, we need to know that someone cares. For real. That someone really wants to be my neighbor. That someone really wants to love me as they love theirself. How do we do that? It's only by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in walking it out, denying ourselves. Just like when I was coming home, I didn't really want to stop and help that person. But the Lord said, stop, so I stopped. And then you know what? I made it to dinner in time. It was fine. But what if I'd have had to help them for an hour or two? It's okay. The Lord's in it. So let's all stand up, and you guys did really good in the beginning of this. Y'all did really good, okay? And my watch says it's 12:00, okay? But because our band and Mitzi and everybody doesn't ever get to fellowship too, so here's what we're gonna do: instead of an altar call, okay, I'm gonna ask Kyle to come up and just start playing, and I want y'all to give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and you can hit the door, okay? 5 minutes, and I'm going to stand up here for just a minute, because if any of y'all need prayer, okay, I want to be here for you, and I want to pray with you, okay? If any of y'all need prayer, come up, and I'll be happy to pray with you. But just like we started off service, I want you to just go around and shake somebody's hand and just talk to them for just a minute, and I don't want anybody leaving for 5 minutes. And unless I'm up here praying with someone, I'll walk to the back. Okay, so Kyle, start playing. I guess I'll pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord. And I pray that our fellowship would grow stronger and stronger. In Jesus' name, amen.